You know, I wasn't going up, but as Jay just prayed, sometimes it's good to have a contrast so you can see the difference. The difference between believers, as meshuggy as we are, as crazy as believers are, and believers are plumb loco. I mean, we're certifiable. I mean, we talk to things that ain't there, and they talk back. You know, why are you doing this? This thing told me to do that. You know, it's weird, okay? I get that. But as weird as we are, the Word predicts, and we have seen the fulfillment of the prediction, that the world is getting weirder. Now, most of you are apparently aware that yesterday, Baruch Hashem, finally recognition, was International Donut Day. Finally, after, I don't know, I haven't looked it up, I'm sure it's on Google, when the first donut was produced, finally, we have international recognition of the world's finest food. The donut. You do not, I do. I do a lot. But few, I am supposing, are aware that yesterday was International Sex Workers Day.
What?
Yes. Finally, recognition for that age-old profession. So apparently you are to find one and give them a donut. I'm assuming that there's the confluence of those 2 days are significant. And if you're truly civic-minded, donate a donut. But one of our illustrious legislators took the opportunity of a number of things that have happened over the last week, put them together, and came up with something that, on one hand, is absolutely hysterical, and on the other hand, is just, you know, you gotta cry. So, we as a nation have pulled out of the Paris Accord. It's not a treaty, because it was never ratified. So, but it is an accord. And since we're the only ones donating the money to the accord, once we're out of it, this accord is probably going to become a singular note and then die out. Accord, that was a music joke. Yes. And it got it.
Oh, I get it.
Some of you are a little slower than others today. All right. So this woman, and God has mercifully allowed me to forget her name, declared that global warming, which is now going to rise dramatically because we have pulled out and are no longer funding it, is going to cause an increase in the amount of women who are forced into prostitution. Now, I started to think about that for a second, and as my brain began to turn into this soupy mush, I stopped thinking about it so that I would not destroy whatever mind I have left after listening to some of this stuff. And I decided that what we should do is start donating to a fund, or begin one, for free EEGs. Just a card that gives you access to a free EEG. And if it comes back flatline, you get a sign. Like Bill Enbol talks about, you get a sign. It says, my EEG is flatline. And then people will understand that, and they won't talk to you. And they won't listen to the things you have to say. Because it's a flat line. So why would you listen? And then with new legislation that anybody with a flat line on the EEG cannot be elected to office. I think that would be useful. One of the gentlemen I mentioned this to informed me that this comes on the heels of Chelsea Clinton, who said that global warming will increase child brides, child marriages. Now, I'm not an ignorant man, and I'm not a stupid man, and I have a degree of intelligence, such as it is. Before the last decade, I had more, but then I heard some of these speeches, and some of that intelligence has dissipated, because it's just sucked out into this vortex of stupid. And I can typically see connections. I can even make up a few. But I'm at a complete loss when it comes to connecting global warming with prostitution and child marriages. If you are aware of that connection, if you would please be merciful and not mention it to me. I'm not interested in understanding. But that is the delusion that the world is under. The Lord said he would send strong delusion because they wouldn't believe the truth. So he sent this strong delusion that they might believe a lie. And we have a plethora of examples of some of the most profound delusion I have ever seen in my 67 years available, and it's on display. And it's pronounced and it's declared to be truth, and we're watching. We live in extraordinary times. Tomorrow is Shavuot, Pentecost. And as I was preparing this message, there is a need for the children of God to hear the voice of God in these days, more so than any other that I've ever lived. Because the insanity must be cut through, and the only thing that will cut through it is the Word of God. Amen. We have a job to do, though. We have to listen. And we don't. I want to speak to you today of winds and breezes and voices and breath and souls and spirits. In English, these words have quite different meanings, and they are used to translate far less Hebrew words, and sometimes those translations obscure more than reveal meaning. In Hebrew, all of these words, wind, breeze, voice, breath, soul, spirit, they are all connected. And they share a common aspect. They all involve the movement of air. Man, as all life, was formed afar min aduma, from the dust of the red earth, like a sculpture. Formed. And although differing in appearance, our bodies function in a very similar fashion to the bodies of any animal. We all have the same processes that go on, that take place. We have to eat. We have to convert that food to energy. Waste products are produced. Everything breathes. There are certain processes that are common to life. But that's where the similarity ends. Some of this will be a rehash of what I spoke on last week. Man alone began life with a holy kiss, as God breathed the breath of life, Nashamat Chaim, into him, into this clay form. And he became a living soul, Neshama Chaya. Both Nefesh and Neshama, as I've spoken on many times, translate as breath, soul, spirit, breeze. They translate a number of different ways depending upon the translator and the context. Jewish theologians, our sages, called the nefesh the animal soul, as all animals breathe to sustain physical life. It is what produces the need to survive, the survival instinct, the nefesh. It's what Yeshua refers to as the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Because nefesh actually comes from a root word which means lust, desire, strong desire. So this nefesh is the animal soul, and we have one. My dog has one, my horse had one. We all share a nefesh. However, only man has a neshama, a divine breath that was breathed into him. And it is the divine breath that separates man from other creatures. One of the primary functions of the soul is to make us aware of our surroundings. The nefesh, or the animal soul, gives us a situational awareness in the physical creation. It is my animal soul, my nefesh, that makes me aware of what is around me and the implications of what goes on around me. Those with a stronger nefesh hunt, for instance, hunters. I've been hunting for 50 plus years. When I first hunted, I remember coming back to camp, and I said, I didn't see a thing. And one of the old men who were in camp looked at me and said, I wonder how many animals saw you. My nefesh was weak. It was unaware of the things that were around me. The animals, their nefesh must be strong or they're dead. Their awareness of what's going on, their senses, how to process that information must be stringent in order to survive. Their lives depend on it. My life didn't. If I didn't get any meat on that hunt, I can go home and open up a can of chili. One of the few things I can cook. Chili. Pour it into a pot and you heat it up. Poof. Shea Bert. Going to open a restaurant. So the animal soul gives us a situational awareness of our physical creation. The neshama, the breath of God, enables us to be aware of a more ethereal realm. Possessed of this breath, we are able to hear and understand differently. We can communicate on a significantly different level. If you will allow me the use of a Hebrew pun, I will connect two words that are not connected through etymology, but do sound similar. The word for hear in Hebrew is what? Shema. We say it every week. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. But Shema means more than just hear. It's to understand as well. You know, if I say to you, hear me, I'm not telling you to hear the sounds of my voice. It's an idiom. Understand what I'm saying. Hear me. You know, today we got another idiom. Do you feel me? It means the same thing. Are we communicating? Do you understand me? Nashama is the divine breath or awareness. And so consequently, without a nashama, we cannot shema. Without this divine soul, we cannot hear the words of God. They're still there, we just can't perceive them. It's like a blind man can't see, a deaf man can't hear. We are deaf to that sound. These words are also connected in Scripture, also a rehashing from last week, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, speaking of Adam and Chava. And your translation saying they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. Again, that is not exactly what the Word of God says. V'yishmu et kol Adonai Elohim mitalech b'gan l'ruach hayom. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the wind of the day, is what it actually says, literally. Now, not all wind is the same. There are physical breezes that are produced by temperature differentials and barometric pressures, the rotation of the earth, etc., and so on and so forth. Wind is also created when I speak. If you put your hand to your mouth, you can feel wind, breeze, breath coming out of you. And this breath that is created when I speak is carried on winds that blow. If I speak in a room that is still, my voice will travel a certain distance. But as any hunter can tell you, if you're out in a field, if you're in the woods, you don't speak in voices, because the winds will carry that voice sometimes as much as a mile or more, which will make the nefesh, the animal soul of the things that you are hunting, aware of your presence. Well, God is a spirit. The scriptures say that. Actually, it says God is a wind. And his voice is also carried on the wind. Now, Paul calls those who speak from the nefesh, the animal soul, he calls them carnal. They are aware of and speak only of this physical reality and the desires of the flesh, while those who speak from their neshama, he calls spiritual. Those who are aware of the breath of God that dwells within them and aware of the divine presence, he calls those kinds of believers spiritual believers, because they possess a more ethereal awareness and are therefore able to speak from an abundance of a different heart. And these speak about the things of God. And Jeff posted something on the Facebook thing where he was talking with this person. They were done with the water treatment at their house. And he says, is there anything else? And he says, yeah, God. And, you know, launches into this apologetic for the Lord. Paul would refer to that as spiritual, because he has a different heart. He speaks from the abundance of a different heart, a heart filled with the Word of God. So whenever the opportunity presents itself, there it is. And he seizes that opportunity. After Adam was expelled from the garden, God searched for others that would hear his voice. Noah was one of those who spoke with the wind. Who's a wind talker? There was a new beginning with Noah. Unfortunately, it too rapidly deteriorated and ended on the sandy plains of Shinar, the Tower of Babel. Ended in confusion. That's what Babel means, confusion. Avraham could also hear the voice of the one who walks in the wind. And God purposed to create a nation from Avraham that would hear him, Shema. Eventually, he brought us to the base of Sinai, where we all heard the voice of God. And although comprised primarily of the physical descendants of Abraham, they were not exclusively the descendants of Abraham. The scriptures declare there was a great mixed multitude. There were Jews and Gentiles, males and female, those who were in bondage, and their oppressors as well. The plague of the firstborn prompted many Egyptians, firstborn Egyptians, to come out with the Israelis. Perhaps it was a fulfillment of what God would write in his Torah, "The firstborn are mine." And those who would come out from amongst them were the firstborn. With the giving of his Torah, his instructions, we became a people. In Deuteronomy 26, the Lord on this day, speaking of Sinai, on this day declared you to be his people. He spoke Israel into existence with a word, just like he spoke the creation into existence with a word. On this first Shavuot, we were created. The promise to Abraham became a reality, and Israel was born a nation. And throughout our wilderness journey, as we read in Exodus, we could hear God walking in the wind in the midst of the camp when we set it up according to his instructions. 1,500 to 2,000 years later, God revealed himself to his people on another Shavuot. I want to reiterate the New Covenant portion from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. When Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the holy wind, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under the heavens. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together, and they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing the apostles speak in their own language. Now at the Tower of Babel, God confused the language of man to scatter us, because man, being made in the image of God, possesses power. There is a power to man that other creatures do not have. No other creature has made a list of endangered species. Only man. And we're at the bottom of that list. We are the least endangered because we have power that other creatures don't have. No other creature dominates the earth. No other creature has ever dominated the earth like man. Even in that which we are not accustomed to, that we are not designed for. What bird can fly like an F-16? What bird can leave the atmosphere? What animal can burrow into the ground like a man? What animal can go out to Bonneville and try to go 300 miles an hour? What other animal would even try? There are advantages and disadvantages to having a brain. And the Lord was worried, because the scriptures say in Genesis 11, and the whole earth, all the peoples of the earth were together. They traveled across the sandy plains of Shinar. And they desired to build a tower whose top would reach into the heavens, lest they be scattered. Now, if you didn't read the preceding verses, chapters, they purposed to fight against, that was the first war against heaven. God said, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." And these guys wanted to build a tower and a city, which was named after the tower, Babylon, to fight against that command to scatter, to fill the earth. So let us build this tower, lest we be scattered. Now, God did not remove that power. He obscured it. He made it so we couldn't communicate. It says they're all together in one place, and they all speak the same language, and now look what they purpose to do, and now nothing they purpose to do will be impossible to them. So God confused their language. He didn't remove the power, but obscured it so that we couldn't use it or use it significantly less. Acts chapter 2 is a reversal of the Tower of Babel. Now everybody understood the words that were spoken in their own language. From confusion came understanding. At Babel, understanding was reduced to confusion. It was the fulfillment of Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. I will give to the peoples a purified lip, a purified language, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve them shoulder to shoulder. And that's why we gather together to pray. God will hear me if I pray alone. I don't need two or three. That was a legislative or a legal scenario. Where two or three are gathered together, I am in your midst, meaning I will give you wisdom on the judgment. It has nothing to do with prayer. If it does, then you can't pray. Why do you pray alone? You need a partner. It has nothing at all to do in context with prayer. It has to do with a legal proceeding. It is a judicial proceeding. It was so in the Tanakh, it is so in the New Covenant, Matthew 18. He's talking about judicial proceedings. I pray alone, God hears me. But if the situation is really serious, what do? I go to my friends. Brother, sister, pray with me. Because the power is a cumulative power. And the more people praying and the more people in agreement, the more likely God will answer those prayers in the way we want them answered. Am I making any sense? I see some confusion and some skepticism here. I mean, it's just the way it is. I know how where two or three are gathered together is used. I understand that. It was used last night at the prayer meeting. But is that a context? You don't need two people to pray. You can pray alone. And if you don't pray alone, see me for prayer after service. And if you require it, I'll get somebody else to pray with me so that there will be two. But that was only the first of many profound occurrences on that day. When that mighty rushing wind filled that room, those inside heard the voice of the one who walks in the wind. And on that day, wind talkers became wind walkers. Peter is a magnificent example of this transfiguration, this metamorphosis. Peter, for all of his bravado, was a scared man. Yeshua, though all others forsake you, I will be with you even unto death. And Yeshua looks at him and goes, I appreciate the thought. That was left out of the canon. I appreciate the thought, but this night you will deny me three times. And before the cock crowed in the morning, Peter had denied Yeshua thrice. He was afraid. He was afraid to attach himself to Yeshua, lest he be hanging on a cross right next to him. He feared. After hearing the wind in that upper room and the voice of the one who walked in that wind, in Acts chapter 2, if you read the whole chapter, everybody thought these boys and girls were drunk. They were speaking in their own languages. I don't know how that suggests drinking, but okay, whatever. They thought they were drunk. And then the scriptures say, and Peter taking his stand with the 12. The man who had just denied Yeshua not too many days earlier, three times in one night out of fear, now had boldness. And he's made his stand with the 12 and preaches one of the most profound sermons in Scripture. And 3,000 come to know the Lord that day. And when he and John were arrested for preaching the word of Yeshua, when they finally let them go after beating them, John and Peter, what is their reaction? They are rejoicing. They are dancing in the streets, literally rejoicing that they were being considered worthy to be beaten for the name of the Lord. That man changed that day. He was not the same man. He was filled with power and boldness that he did not possess the day before. He was transfigured. God spoke a nation into existence on that first Shavuot. That same voice that walked in the wind in the garden created another peculiar people. It is described by Peter in his first epistle in chapter 2, verse 9. He refers to us as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Very similar language as to Israel, isn't it? This action was also the fulfillment of a promise made to Abraham. At Sinai, some of the nations were blessed. Those that came out, there were Assyrians, there were Egyptians, primarily Israel, but there were others. At the second Shavuot, the word of God was about to go out to all the nations of the earth who waited for his law. Isaiah prophesies that the nations await your Torah. They wait for this instruction from God. And now we are perched in Acts chapter 2 for this peculiar folk, this royal priesthood, this holy nation to go out and speak those words to all the nations of the earth. And I will bless you, Avraham, and you will bless all the nations of the earth. Your name will be known everywhere. That was not done by Moshe. If it had only been Moshe, the Lord God would have been the possession of a small nomadic Bedouin tribe that nobody had ever heard of. It was the coming of King Messiah that spread the name of the King Messiah to all the nations of the earth and made him singularly the most influential person who has ever lived, and he only lived about 30 years. Amen. What did you accomplish by 30? On this day, God created a new man, also created by the wind of his words. James chapter 1, verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Gird up your loins, Dave. What does Homo sapien mean? We use it all the time. It's the scientific designation of modern man. What does it mean? Most don't know. It means man of wisdom, wise man. It is a description bestowed upon man by man. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. On this Shavuot, 2,000 years ago, God brought forth another creature, also created by a word of truth. Not Homo sapien, not a self-designated wise man, but a homo spiritus, a spiritual man, a man born of the wind. Yeshua speaks to this new creature. In John chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, nephesh. And that which is born of the wind is wind. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from, nor do you know where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the wind, born of the spirit, same word, ruach, born of the breath, neshama, same word, same concept. A creature born of the wind. Now you can't see the wind, but you can see its effects on things around you. You can see the trees and the grasses wave back and forth. You can see afar min adumav, the dust of the earth being blown about. You can feel the wind caress your face, your skin, your body. Similarly, you cannot see the wind of God, Ruach HaElohim. You can't see it, but you can see its effect. You can feel it brush up against your soul, refreshing that breath that perhaps has grown stale. And when you're touched by that holy wind, there is a refreshment and there's a sweetness to the air that you now breathe. When a man hears the voice of the one who walks on the wind, he is forever changed. No one comes into contact with that voice and leaves the same. They are all changed. We're no longer blown about by earthly winds, for now our path is directed by a wind created by and on which the words of God are carried. Those who are aware, who have felt his wind caress their soul, he gave the right to become the children of God, also from John chapter 1. Those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God, born of the wind. The constant prayer of our Lord was, Father, give them eyes to see and ears to hear. When he chose a few of the disciples to accompany him up on a mount called Transfiguration, they heard the voice of God walking in the wind. And the voice said, this is my son. Hear him. Shema. Hear him. Children of God, listen to the wind. Stop. Stop being blown about by the wind of words created by fools. By people who don't register on EEGs. By the words of men or women. Remove yourself. Step back. Still your heart, as the psalmist says in Psalm 4, as Paul says. Still your heart. And listen to the voice that walks in the wind. The same words that he called out to Adam now echoes down through the corridors of eons of time. And it's carried on the exact same wind. And the Lord is saying the same thing to us today that he said to Adam when Adam hid from him. Ayaka, where are you? Come back. Stop hiding from me. Where are you? He searched for us then. He searches still. May we hear those gentle whispers walking in the wind. Father, in Yeshua's name, praise, honor, and glory to you. On the eve of this Feast of Weeks, this Shavuot, a holy day that celebrates the time when heaven and earth touched, both at Sinai and in that small room, when the same mighty rushing wind spoke words to all whose ears were unstuffed, that they might hear, that they might understand, and that they might obey. And Father, may we also create a holy wind with our words, that everyone we come across would hear your words come forth from our mouth, that we might be a testimony that you are here. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.